Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
You know, here's an interesting thing to realize. We are forgiven, but sin is not forgiven. Sin is punished. We are forgiven because sin has been punished. And the Bible says that God, He doesn't pass over sin, meaning that God cannot simply sweep sin under the carpet. Sin requires punishment, and there's no escaping it. There's no way around it.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Hebrews. Join us in chapter 2, verse 9, as Pastor Brian takes us through the author's instructions to the Hebrews in a message titled, Jesus Tasted Death for Everyone. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Jesus was bearing the penalty for the iniquities of us all, every single person. You know, if you can't imagine in your own mind, I mean, just take the suffering that you are aware of. Maybe your own personal suffering, the suffering of family members, friends, loved ones, or, you know, just the information that you have compiled over the years about pain and suffering and shame and alienation and guilt and all of those things. You know, just think about that and then realize that that was transferred onto Jesus, but that's just what you're able to think about it. But then you have to multiply that billions of times over for the population of the world from the beginning of time to the end. So when Jesus tasted death, all of that is what he was tasting. And so he was tasting to the fullest extent the curse of sin. But secondly, he was tasting to the full extent the power of Satan. The power of Satan, all of the fury of the devil himself, all of his hatred against God, all of that animosity and vitriol that the devil holds in his heart against God and people, those that God loves, it's all being unleashed on Jesus at this time. Verse 14, you remember it tells us that inasmuch as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, so he himself partook of the same, that through death he might destroy the one who had the power of death. Satan has the power of death. And as we look at history, this is what we see. The devil's power is always used destructively. And from the beginning of time right down to this very day, as we think of the destruction of human life, the devil is the one who is behind all of that. And he has great power that he exerts destructively. When we think of catastrophic kinds of things, you know, massive earthquakes, or we think of typhoons or hurricanes or tsunamis or, you know, all of those kinds of things that happen, those we call natural disasters. Did you know that quite often Satan is the source of those things? And what is the result? It's death and destruction. We know he's the source of those things. We have examples in Scripture. Satan uses the powers of nature to destroy Job's family, his children, his servants, and those kinds of things. He stirs up the hearts of evil men to murder his servants and so forth. We see that the devil was behind all of that. And it's these kinds of things that Satan does. And it's this very thing that Jesus faced when he was tasting death. He faced all of the power of Satan. And so his greatest objective, the devil's greatest objective, is to bring as much destruction to the world as possible. And his greatest power in all his fury was directed at Jesus. So again, this is one of those things, it's hard to even comprehend this. It's hard to even get our minds even slightly around this. But, you know, maybe just think if you can, you know, maybe it's been a film or something, or maybe you've read it in a book, or, you know, sometimes there's a description of some, well, C.S. Lewis wrote a book called That Hideous Power. That, you know, there's a description that somebody might give of this malignant power that's just so hideous that it would cause you to shudder. Well, that's the kind of thing that we're talking about here. One thing that came to mind, it's probably not the best illustration, but I think it maybe slightly illustrates the point. But you think of, the emperor in Star Wars. And remember, as he unleashed all of his fury on young Skywalker, you know, and there he was. Maybe, you know, how many of you saw that film? You saw that film, right? It's like 30 years old, so you've had to have seen it. It's crazy, though. My little grandkids are all, you know, they got their lightsabers out. They're, you know, Luke Skywalker, Yoda, Darth Vader. It's all come back around. But, you know, in a sense, you know, you remember that picture there where the emperor, he's just all of his power and all of his hatred and all of that is just being directed at Luke. And there's Luke writhing on the ground in pain. And then remember, Darth picks him up and he throws him down that shaft. And then at the end, there's this. You know, this thing of just raw power that comes up, this evil power. And, you know, in a sense, it's that kind of a thing, but it's much more hideous than that. It's so far beyond that. But this is what it means that Jesus tasted death. All of that hatred and that destructiveness that the devil has wrought upon the planet from the beginning and upon humanity, all of that was unleashed against the Lord Jesus. So he tasted death. He experienced the full extent of the curse of sin. He experienced the full extent of Satan's power. But the worst part of it all, as bad as that is, the worst part of it all, the most bitter aspect of tasting death for Jesus was experiencing the wrath of God against sin. You see, because that's ultimately what was happening. Jesus was experiencing the wrath of God against sin. You know, here's an interesting thing to realize. We are forgiven, but sin is not forgiven. Sin is punished. We are forgiven because sin has been punished. And the Bible says that God, he doesn't pass over sin, meaning that God cannot simply sweep sin under the carpet. Sin requires punishment, and there's no escaping it. There's no way around it. We can be forgiven, but our sins were punished. That's actually why we can be forgiven, because our sins were punished. And that's what was happening on the cross. Jesus was tasting the full wrath of God against sin. That unfathomable suffering of Jesus was expressed in the words that he uttered from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus bore the wrath of God against all the sins of all mankind on the cross. That is inconceivable. We can't even remotely comprehend that. All of the sins of all of mankind were there put upon Jesus. He bore the wrath of God against man's sin, and somehow on the cross, Jesus tasted for everyone eternal separation from God. Somehow that happened. I don't know how that happened. Somebody earlier asked me, could you explain that? I said, no, I can't explain it. It's unexplainable. How can we who are finite creatures even begin? This is one of those things where God's infinitude, God's transcendence, God's eternality, all of these things that separate God from us, these are where they come into play, and we don't understand it. But somehow, beyond our comprehension, Jesus tasted for everyone eternal separation from God, because that's the penalty for sin. The penalty for sin is separation from God.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you to visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
And there on the cross, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So it's there in these hours, these 6 hours that Jesus hung up on that cross, there in some way that's incomprehensible to us, all of the punishment for man's sin eternally was compacted into that time frame by God. Now, the time frame, I say, it was the 6 hours from our point of view, but remember, God is outside of time. And we're told later in Hebrews, an interesting thing, we're told that Jesus, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without blemish to God. So you see, there's a transaction that's taking place here that is happening in this eternal kind of realm with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who are eternal. One God, three persons. It's through the eternal Spirit that Christ is offering himself up. So it's because of this nature, this eternal nature of God, that Christ was able to suffer in this way. And it's because he did that, that we do not have to experience that separation from God. So this takes us into the realm of mystery. And you might, in view of this, you might just stop and pause and just really say, oh, mystery of mysteries. This is mysterious beyond what we're able to understand at this point. Thomas Gill, back in the 1800s, he expressed these ideas in a hymn. The hymn was entitled, O Mystery of Love Divine. Let me read to you from it. He put it this way. He said, on thy pure soul did dread and gloom in that drear garden rise, and ours the brightness and the bloom of thine own paradise. For thee the Father's hidden face, for thee the bitter cry, for us the Father's endless grace, the song of victory. Our load of sin and misery didst thou the sinless bear, thy spotless robe of purity do we the sinners wear. Thou who our very place didst take, dwell in our very heart, thou who thy portion ours dost make, thyself impart. But he's expressing these very things here. For thee, the Father's hidden face. That's what Jesus experienced. And he experienced this bitter cry. But what did it bring to us? For us, the Father's endless grace. It was our load of sin and misery that the sinless did bear. And that's what's being talked about here. And so it was the incarnation. It was just the very fact of death, that Jesus would will himself. He would exert his power to die, but then he would taste death to the fullest extent in ways that we could never comprehend. And then how is this possible? How can this be? Well, we're told he did it by the grace of God. By the grace of God, he tasted death for everyone. For every single person that has ever lived, Jesus tasted death, and he did it by God's grace. This is that covenant between the Father and the Son, that he would come and he would die in the place of sinners. Now, this is God's grace because, of course, God was under no obligation to forgive sinners. God created man. He gave man one basic command and warned that in the day that you violate that command, you will die. He gave man so much freedom. He gave him a whole garden full of all of these wonderful trees. And it was just one tree that he said you're not to eat from. And he gave that warning. And man not only disobeyed God, not only revolted against God, but in doing this, you remember, man, he partnered with God's ancient foe. Man went into a partnership with the devil. That's what happened there in the garden. And so now here's man in not just in rebellion to God, but he's aligned with Satan. And God is under no obligation to do anything except destroy that, to obliterate that. But God's deep love for man says, no, I'm going to make a way. And what is that way? Well, Jesus is going to come and he's going to bear the penalty of sin so God can forgive rebellious men and women. That's grace. He, by the grace of God, tasted death for everyone. Not because anyone deserved it. No, we deserved the opposite. But it's purely through his grace. And you know, as we think into the future, there are two separate groups of people, ultimately. Those who are in heaven, in the presence of God, those who are in hell, separated from his presence. Both states will be eternal. Both states will go on endlessly. But here's the greatest tragedy of all. For both groups of people, Jesus tasted death. He tasted death for both groups, but only one group benefits from the death that he tasted. The other group doesn't. And I think this is going to be part of the torment of hell, that everybody in hell is going to know that their sins that put them there, their ultimate sin of rejecting Christ, that it was paid for, that it had actually been dealt with. But it was because they refused it, because they rejected it. Because they said, oh, I don't need somebody to save me. Oh, I don't need somebody to die for me. That sounds barbaric. That sounds immoral. I don't need anything like that. And that gift of God's grace, having Christ taste death for them, they end up having to swallow the whole thing themselves. And it is an eternal situation. But they have this consciousness. Like I said, I think this is part of the torment. They have this consciousness that there was actually provision that was made. Their sins could have been forgiven. Can you imagine that? I mean, you know, we've all probably done things where we made the wrong choice and afterwards we're just like kicking ourselves like, oh, I can't believe I did that. Why did I do that? Oh, and you wish you could reverse it, but it's irreversible and, you know, and you're stuck with it. Anybody ever have an experience like that? Yeah, I have too. But you know what? I don't want to have an experience like that that is going to go out into eternity. I don't want to have an experience like that that will go on tormenting me eternally. But there's that group that will have that. And the great tragedy is that it didn't have to be that way because Jesus, by the grace of God, tasted death for everyone. But then there's that other group. There's that group that is there with him eternally, and hopefully you're part of that. We're part of that. And of course, we all of us can be part of that by receiving that gift of grace through Christ. But think about this. So here we are, and there we are in eternity. And, you know, I was thinking about this. This is such an amazing thing, really, when you think about it. Christ, because remember the context is that God is going to put Jesus over all things. He's the representation of humanity. We will rule and reign through him, because of him. And yet to think about this, that our king, our ruler, is one who died for us. That every time we look at Jesus, we will be reminded of that one thing, that he died for us. Remember how John tells us in Revelation chapter 5, there he was taken up and there around the throne, and there's the scroll in the right hand of him who sits on the throne. And the question is, who is worthy to take the scroll and to loose the seals? And this seems to be the title deed to the earth and the title deed for the new kingdom. who can open the scroll and loose the seals? And there's great weeping in heaven because no one's found worthy. But then suddenly, the angel speaks and says, "Don't weep, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed." And John says this, "And I saw him coming forth to take the scroll out of him who was sitting on the throne, take it from his hand. I saw him as a lamb that had been slain." Our King, our Lord, who tasted death for us, will eternally bear the scars of his suffering for us. So as we are there in heaven, in the kingdom, heaven and earth merged together, however you want to understand it, that's the reality. As we are there, we'll have that perpetual reminder that our King died for us. Jesus rose from the dead in the same body, but it was a different body. It was a new body. It was a glorified body. But it still had the marks of the cross. And when John says, "I saw a lamb as it had been slain," I think what he's telling us is that's how we're going to see Jesus as well. And we will have that continual reminder before us that he, by the grace of God, tasted death for everyone. I mean, think of that in terms of a ruler. Think of that in terms of a king, or somebody who has dominion over somebody who has subjects. Here, this King, he died for us, for each and every one of us. That is so astounding. That is so powerful. That is so amazing to think about that. That's the reality, though. I think of the Jews. I think of the fact that for all of these long centuries, the Jews have rejected their Messiah. And Zechariah tells us of the day that's coming. God speaking through the prophet, talking about the house of David and the people of Israel and so forth. There's coming a day they will look upon me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn, they will lament, they will wail for him as one wails for an only son. That day when the Jews finally realize that this one that we have rejected for all these centuries, this is our Savior. They look upon me whom they have pierced. The wounds are still there. And they see that. And then forever, as the temple is rebuilt and Jesus is there upon the Davidic throne as a priest and a king, there he is bearing those scars. And there is that perpetual reminder to the priest and to the people of Israel, our Messiah, our King, our God, his love for us, demonstrated by the scars. That's what we have. And so this is what Jesus did for us. We do not yet see the full manifestation of his being crowned with glory and honor. That's going to come in the future. But what do we see now? We see that he went through this process of incarnation, of suffering death, of tasting to the full extent death. And he did it for everyone by the grace of God. Which group will you be in? God wants you to be there with him forever. And that's why Jesus tasted death for you. Don't turn away from that. Don't spurn that. Don't reject that. But embrace that fully. Because apart from that, there is that other thing, that eternal separation, with the greatest regret of all being that someone tasted death for me, but I didn't avail myself of it. And now I live with that eternal consequence. God help us, everyone, to not go there.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Brodersen. I'd like to remind you that you can get today's message and any additional resource designed to encourage you in your walk with the Lord at our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Instagram at @backtobradio or on Twitter, or like us on our Facebook page. We would enjoy hearing from you. We would also like to send you a gift for the month of April for supporting Back to Basics. Our gift for April, for a donation of any size, is Pastor Brian's book, Spiritual Warfare, Fighting the Good Fight of Faith. We believe that it's important that every Christian understands the reality of spiritual warfare and how to fight the good fight. In this book, Pastor Brian brings biblical balance and practical insight to the subject of spiritual warfare. The details for obtaining this month's book and all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Hebrews. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.